So we're moving on now to the next chapter, which is the Way of Men.
Way of Men.
And we've touched on this in many ways in our conversations up until now. We've spoken a little bit about the bad boy or the jerk and the nice guy, and we've spoken a bit about the paradoxes of men, how to have this father figure energy, but also the little boy. We've spoken about the pickup artist movement a little bit, and I think in general, it seems like your position on men and the situation of men nowadays is clearly defined in your book.
I think so, yeah.
And there are a couple of things that I'm still very interested in. I think the key thing for me is that we've had a few different waves of feminism over the last 60, 70 years, but there hasn't been one concrete men's movement with any international weight behind it that's taking place. And what I'm noticing around in little pockets around the world right now is that actually there is a generation of men starting to wake up and think, oh, hang on a minute. Growing up feeling ashamed of my power and hiding parts of myself. And I'm tired of being this sensitive, nice guy, because that's not getting me what I want, not with women and not in my career either. And there are men starting to look together for what has happened over the last 60 years while we're all asleep. And what is needed going forward? What kind of life do I want to create? And I wonder if you've got anything to say about a potential men's movement.
I do. Because it's easy to go off course, and it's easy to have a reactionary men's movement. And there's pockets of reaction against, you know, the so-called second wave feminism. And to try and reclaim back the power, to try and, it's a battle, right? And there is really destructive voices on both sides of the spectrum, really staunch anti-men feminists and really staunch women are all is the enemy. What's the opposite of a feminist? Masculinist?
Misogynist?
Well, not misogynist.
Not really.
Well, there hasn't been a serious movement about it, so I guess they haven't got a...
Masculinist. Masculinist. Oh, I see. Yeah, like, right. The male equivalent, yeah.
I was about to say something, and I didn't laugh. and I said it strongly in here. There's lots of, like you said, pockets, Jordan, of the uprisings against the matriarchal bent of society, and you know, women get all the attention and all, and have the control over things now. And I think it's completely misguided, because they're trying to fight, and the women's side are trying to fight. But you know as well as I do, Jordan, because you've traveled the world, you've talked to women's groups who are not trying to fight, who are strongly have a feminist stance and an equality stance. But they're also talking about polarity and bringing that balance back in, which we've lost. And I talk about it here. So, I think it's very possible, and I think it's very needed to have a men's movement, but it's got to come from a place of not conflict, but more of like, I mean, where are we in this day and age, and all of our knowledge and all of our, the information that we have, and we still can't come up with a collaborative way of moving forward, and the tide rising on the boats at once. We have to beat down the women so that we're strong again.
Yeah.
You know?
When I talk about little pockets of men's movements, I hear what you're saying. You've said it in your book about antagonistic movements.
Yes.
But even still, I'm noticing, even just in the last 2, 3, 4 years, there are these movements of what they call the third stage man, who is both a composite of the positive qualities of the powerful alpha male from the 50s or before, the madman type guy, and the sensitive, caring, curious, empathetic qualities of the new age man builds on that. And there is this new third stage man, as they're calling it. So I'm even seeing pockets of that as well.
I haven't.
Ah,
I mean, for the last 3-4 years, as you know, I've been in Bucharest and working on finishing my book, and so I haven't encountered. And so I hear about this, but I don't know exactly what is the flavor of these movements. Because it sounds like what's interesting is you said just the Mad Men, kind of like this suave, cocky kind of a cool masculine psyche again, but blended in with the caring and the sympathetic side,
the positive nice
which
guy
is,
attributes,
which is the good good parts of the bad guy, and the good parts of the nice guy blended into the one, and so there's these things happening, right? And you've encountered this. Like what I mean is, does it ring true to you? These groups that you're seeing.
Yeah, you know what? I've encountered it, and it seems at the moment that as an individual guy over here with a podcast and a small community on Facebook, and he's friends with some guys in the West Coast that are doing the same thing. So there are podcasts, there are coaches, there are a lot of individuals out there, but there's no overall movement yet that I've observed.
Yeah, because what I have encountered, leave aside, for instance, the ones that are the fight back, take the power from women, women are the enemy. The men's groups that I have seen, is this true? Don't have a scoundrel energy to them. They're all about empathy.
Yeah.
And all about,
yeah.
They're all about connecting and all about sitting in holding space and aligning ourselves with the feminine. But they don't have the, where's the scoundrel? Where's the mischief? And I'd be pleased if I heard that there were some men's groups that were had that too.
That's a great word, because the men's groups that I'm seeing are, say, like Conscious Man or Evolved Man or Third Stage Man, which is starting to tap into the spiritual,
right?
Definitely reclaiming what is masculine, like what does masculinity mean and how does that need to be? And still there feels like there's a freshness or a newness about that that doesn't include fun.
Okay, so it's so profound that it's all on a floating level kind of thing, as opposed to like the mischief scoundrel energy, which is us still having fun, right?
I don't want to say that everyone in any of these meetings is boring and being serious about it, but it doesn't seem like that is on the list of priorities whatsoever.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, this is a serious pursuit, you know, as men, we've been down and out for 60 years, whatever. And I grew up with no father and didn't know how to hunt or swim in the swamp.
So I wanted to like,
beaches.
Yeah. And I know that there's these things out there and they're reclaiming, like living in the forest and painting their faces and beating drums and being primal and screaming and crying and doing extreme things. I get that.
So I'm curious now, like from what I understand, feminism started as really a fight for equality, as a fight for the vote. It started because of a society thing of injustice between the sexes. But the men's movement, and maybe why this hasn't had the same force, is it doesn't really seem like a strong event. Like, I think it seems like the women's movement was primarily about equality, and it seems like we're saying the men's movement is about authenticity, because we don't really have a societal injustice to fight like women did.
Yeah, it's still a man's world.
So, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're uprising against it. You know what I'm saying?
Against what? Yeah.
Well, yes and no. Like, in certain countries that I've been to, it feels like a man's world. I'm like, wow, look at all the...
Okay.
Everything I can eat for dinner is steak, and then everywhere I can go at night is casinos and strip clubs, and it's easy for me to have girls because my money goes a long way, and women don't have that kind of independence. There are countries that feel like a man's world.
Yeah.
But if I think about North America, England, for example, it's not a man's world at all. It's a marketer's world or a businessman's world.
Yes.
It's an entrepreneur's world.
Yes.
Women are used, but men are highly manipulated.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine that under the competitive corporate scheme of things, it's not wanted that man becomes strong and independent.
Under the corporate side, that's interesting.
In a highly competitive world, which is this corporate rational world that we're living in, in the majority.
All business oriented.
It's good to have men in a system that are not strong and independent minded.
So, wow.
Otherwise, why would we believe in buying products, doing all the things that don't make sense on dates. The restaurants, the fine wines, the fine clothes, the apartment, the white screen TV that you talk about.
Yeah.
All of this meant feeling small and having to fill ourselves up with consumer goods is perfect for that kind of system.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I don't see any agenda from that level of consciousness.
That's an interesting observation.
That's very true, because a marketing guy, it was born out of the guy that started marketing was some connection with Freud, and he brought psychology to marketing. He made people want products by making them feel needy, essentially. Because you don't need an aftershave, you're not going to buy it. They implant that neediness, which keeps men weak for capitalism, for consumerism to succeed. So that's interesting.
That
makes a lot of sense.
That makes sense to me.
And you talk about it here. I mean, we've had conversations about the nightclubs. You say, I love this. The seduction community doesn't manipulate women. Women are too smart for that.
Mm.
It manipulates men. Promises of instant attraction and same night lays.
Yeah.
And I read that just a couple of days ago and thought, wow, it's so true.
Yeah.
And it's the same with
that.
Same with these nightclubs you're talking about with the $30 entrance fees, and then you go in there and you don't know what to do because there are so many men and everyone's got new clothes and muscles and all the women look hot and they're all shining. It's got nothing else to do apart from buy another drink and try and drum up the confidence to go and approach someone. It's a losing system for the mass of men. And it's like every time I go past a big club and there's hour-long lines. I went in Toronto to a Halloween party, hour-long line to get in the club and pay $30 to get in that kind of snow. Blizzard.
Oh, wow.
And I think, like, how is that possible?
Did you get down the line and say, come on, we're going. Where are we going?
How is it possible for this man, you know, like, millennia of these strong beings that have shaped the world, explored the world, created incredible things, to be standing in line 1 hour in the snow to go in a club where they spend a lot of money on drinks to try and get a shiny, hot girl that probably hasn't got any connection with him?
Which you're not going to do almost percentage-wise anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's for a false promise almost.
So I think, it's like women with feminism had a clear thing to fight against.
Yes.
And fight for equality.
Yes. Yep.
And I think there's something strong here, if we tap into it long enough, this sense of manipulation.
It's an undermining thing. It's not a... obvious thing.
It's very subtle.
Wow.
It's cynical.
It's crept up on us.
And it's still a society thing. Like it was for women, it was injustice about the vote, but it's still a society thing. It's about
keeping us weak. Yeah.
It's about selling us, it's Fight Club, selling us as advertisers, have us chasing cars and clothes.
Yeah.
It's this.
Yeah. Wow. So. And you see, and Jordan, you said you're seeing this kind of like emergence,
in
conscious men that is not an antagonistic type movement.
Yeah, I think broad strokes, the waves of it seem to be. First of all, when the feminist movement happened, the guys that wanted to get on that hippie drift,
right.
You know, go to India and go to California in the beaches. It was the start of this sensitive new age man.
Right.
That those beliefs have filtered down and the nice guy effect has gone worldwide.
Yes.
So that was a byproduct.
So I think that happened at the same time as feminism. It was like the men's solution to wanting women in their lives was to go and say, yes, we subscribe to this.
We subscribe
to your worldview.
We're feminists too.
Yeah.
Cut off some kind of essence of themselves.
Yeah.
Speaking broad strokes, right? I'm sure there was a lot of foxes amongst the hens the whole way through. And it seems that this latest wave is, well, we are really nice, sensitive guys. That's true. And we want to find our masculinity back. So there's like another phase of that, which is, okay, now we're going to have to. So what does David Data say? Oh, we need to have clarity of purpose. You get that whole part of the movement as well. And that's the part that's freshly burgeoning. The men are like, oh, wow. And it's happening in the West Coast. It's happening in Boulder more than anywhere else. Scandinavia, a little. Amsterdam.
I mean, you look at our group. We've got a group of men around the world called the Hammurati, which you guys are all members of. And we're trying to understand that, our role in our conversation with women as well. But what is great about what we're doing and maybe there's other groups doing it too, is we're not losing that essence of, we're reclaiming masculinity in all the balance of respect and things that we talk about with beauty, but we're not losing the spirit of fun, of sexual delight, and of, you know, of that kind of, I don't know how else to say it, scoundrel energy, which we need. You need to have that feeling of that.
I think you say some of one of your kind of descriptions of what the Amorati is going towards is it's reclaiming the call for adventure, the rebirth of romance, and the art of seduction.
Yes.
And that includes the scoundrel energy.
Of course it does, yeah.
And it's not just about women, it's about adventure as well.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, like that, I mean, that's on the right track. I'm convinced it is. And, but we're a pocket too, right? We're this group of guys that is our guys.
That's it. So far, a pocket.
Yeah.
Mm.
So what do we do to take it international?
We should make a YouTube series.
We should have a conversation. We should film a conversation. I said it in here. You cannot have a... You cannot have a strong men's movement to the exclusion of women. That doesn't mean women need to be in your movement. This is still a men. It's something that men need to have, to be able to sit with their brothers, sit in brotherhood. I know it's all politically correct that, you know, come on, that's discrimination against sex. So be it. You can own that. We still have to have a brotherhood of guys looking at each other's eyes and say, we're all in this together.
Mm.
But you cannot have a strong men's movement that has meaning, that has value, that isn't a fight, if you don't have the balancing support and inspiration of women. Can't do it. Can't do it in isolation. I'm convinced.
Is there something that you're wanting for men on a personal level?
Yeah, you know, I think my whole motivation for writing this book is because I didn't have an answer when I was young. And I didn't have some kind of guidance. And I think if there was a guidance for men, there was a roadmap that wasn't a fight against women, that also elevated women, but made them feel like we have the strength in us, and we can still be men, and we don't have to turn into, you know, sensitive, girly men, right? We can still have that. We don't have to be like all nodding our head and careful with our words and our actions. We can still have the great spirit of our scoundrel spirit. I think if I was wanting something for men, it would be that kind of guide book or that kind of guidepost or the kind of roadmap to follow. That's a good path to follow through. Because I wish I had it. I'm very selfish when I speak about, you know, my motives.
Yeah.
Right? I'm trying to save the world. I'm trying to save my young self. And if somebody else can align with that and they don't have to go through what I went through and all the hurt and stuff that I caused and all the hurt and stuff that I received, maybe they can have a better conversation with women, have a better relationship, have a great girl that loves them and takes care of them, you know? That's a great, to me, that's a motivation. That's my motivation for my young self to be able to have, to be able to say, hey, I have that.
Do you sit, like, when you go get up in the morning and sit on the balcony or walk around the old city and scratching your head as you do, do you think, what would the world look like if we had 10,000 men amongst our ranks or 1 million men who subscribe to this?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Way of living. Yeah.
Because I want to be part of something. You know, I want to be caught up in something that I can be proud to say to women, you know what, we're doing? You know what this 10,000 member strong group of men is doing and the kinds of relationships that they're seeking, what they're trying to speak to their friends and their circle and their communities and the women that they're in relationship with? It's a good message and you will like it. I would like that. I would like to be able to know that is rolling and going out there and it's spreading from town to town, you know, independent of me, being the guy. You know what I'm saying? I very much like to know that that's rolling out there, and it's there, and they're speaking about this in Spain, and speaking about this in France, and in Canada, and you know, different parts of the world, and there's strong guys out there that are saying, hey, let's do something different. It's not an antagonistic thing. From the beginning, it's a sharing thing with women. But it's also not obsequious ass-kissing movement to women.
Yeah.
We're going to be on your side. I hear guys say, listen, I'm a feminist. You know, women have been trying to get their own voice for centuries. And now these guys, there's new age guys going, you know what? I also identify as a feminist. I'm a strong feminist. So you're going to take over that voice too. That's a woman's voice. You're going to say, oh, I'm a feminist too. You're not a feminist. You're a dude.
Mm.
Right? You might be softer on the edges, dude. But you're not a feminist. And to be so presumptuous is to also occupy that space too.
Mm.
I'll help you out, women. I'm not a feminist.
Mm.
I understand what the feminists are saying, and I listen to them, and I want to know.
Mm.
But I'm a guy. I'm a man. So I can't lead a women's movement, for instance. I can't. I can inspire a conversation that leads into something in my own small way, and your small way, and your small way, and your small way. And I do. I talk to women's groups.
Mm.
Talk to women's groups about what we're doing with men. But I never sit there and instruct women, women, you're doing this and you should do this.
Mm.
Because I'm not a woman. That's going to take strong female voices that are also looking for the balance. And you know this, Jordan, because we have met some very powerful women in our time who are leaders of women's groups, thousands strong, who are trying to reclaim the great strength and beauty of the female spirit, which isn't all going into the masculine, you know, masculine energy.
Mm.
And also believe in polarity. I strongly believe in polarity and what that is. Now, of course, there's all kinds of variations or all kinds of shades of gray, right? Between the black and white of masculine and feminine, right? There's all kinds of things I don't understand and going on in between there, blending. And there's also, you know, that there's a self-identification, feeling more feminine, or, you know, so it's not all black and white. I'm not saying that. I'm not trying to say that we should go back to the black and white of men are men, women are women. But I am saying that there's a polarity needed in any kind of magnetic attraction.
Yes.